GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, researchers are working to develop an improved vaccine to control foot rot in beef and dairy cattle. We'll hear from Dr. Jose Perez Casal at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan, and he'll tell us about what he's working on there. Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were mixed across the province during the past week. Provincial cattle specialist Fonda Froetz will join us about that. The new chair of the Canadian Pork Council says priorities moving forward include strengthening the economic sustainability of the sector, addressing animal disease, and developing programs to help producers deal with expected and unexpected challenges. Renee Waugh will join us on today's program. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Researchers are working to develop an improved vaccine to control foot rot in beef and dairy cattle. The project is being led by Dr. Jose Perez Casal at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization, better known as VIDO, located at the University of Saskatchewan. Foot rot is a hoof infection that can be transmitted to other animals. The current vaccine is based on only one of four common bacteria that causes foot rot.
So our approach is to take fresh lesions and then isolate the bacteria that are there and produce a vaccine that contains not only antigens for the same bacteria that is in the current vaccine, but also antigens for the other bacteria that are not in the current vaccine.
Dr. Perez Casal is looking to achieve another objective as well.
We also want to develop a vaccine that will be a single shot, so that will save substantial dollars to the producers, and also with a long-term immunity, so that you give it once and maybe 3 or 4 months, at least for 3 or 4 months, you don't have to worry about it.
Dr. Perez Casal runs through the project timetable.
Once we isolate all the bacteria, we try to pull the ones that look the same and use that for the vaccine. It's a 3-year project, and at the end we hope to have a vaccine at least that will give us enough protection and also long-term immunity. So for now we are in the first year, so we have isolated already more than a few bacteria from the foot rot lesions in Alberta. And now here in the spring, we are going to do the same for the cattle here in Saskatchewan.
He goes on to say,
we hope by the end of next year, we'll have had done all the lab trials and also the animal trials so that we can have an idea how the vaccine is performing. We might have to use different adjuvants for the vaccine, so the research will tell us which way to go.
And as for when he believes it will be regularly available.
Well, you know, with vaccines are usually between the lab work that you do and then testing on the field and then all the regulatory hurdles that you have to go over. Realistically, it will be above 10 years. But hopefully less. Now, we have a VIDO has a new vaccine manufacturing center that is being certified, hopefully in the next 3 or 4 months. That will help us a lot because we can make the vaccine, at least for the initial steps, right at VIDO. So that will shorten the period that where we can go with the vaccine, test it on the field, and obtain CFIA approval for use. So it could be 5 years if you're lucky.
Dr. Jose Perez Casal is a research scientist at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan. His team is working to develop an improved vaccine to control foot rot in feedlot and dairy cattle. The project recently received $243,000 in funding from the Federal and Saskatchewan Agriculture Development Fund. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of new era ag technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgriView.
The United States is filing a second formal action under the Free Trade Agreement over Canadian imports of U.S. dairy products. U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai says the new panel is needed because Canada has not taken the steps necessary to properly address the first formal trade action over dairy tariff rate quotas. That panel ruled in December of 2021 that Canada was violating terms of the Canada-U.S.-Mexico Trade Agreement, otherwise known as CUSMA. The U.S. says changes made by the Canadian government have not addressed their concerns. The Canadian Minister of International Trade is disappointed with the U.S. request for a dispute settlement panel. Mary Ng says Canada will continue to defend the supply management system and the market access for dairy products agreed upon by the two countries. She adds the government will stand firm against attempts to renegotiate agreements during the dispute settlement panel process. Under timelines specified by CUSMA, the parties have about 35 days to finalize the composition of a panel, which will likely need 7 to 9 months to issue its final report. Rising interest rates mean the federal government's move to expand the interest-free portion of its advanced payment program will save farmers and cost government more than originally expected. Last June, the government increased the interest-free amount that farmers can borrow through the cash advance program for 2022 and 2023 from $100,000 to $250,000. The government originally projected the change would save farmers and cost government $61 million in interest payments. As of January 30, 2023, the two-year program is now expected to save producers $75.7 million, a nearly $15 million increase in borrowing costs for the government. That's according to a response from Finance Canada to a written question about fertilizer tariff revenue from Conservative MP Richard LeHoux that was shared with the House of Commons on Monday. An extension of zero-rate tariffs on lentils moving into India for another year should be a clear sign that the country is in the market for imports. However, Canadian lentil sales to India face stiff competition, with a large Australian crop likely to limit movement going forward. India announced at the end of December that it would continue to exempt import tariffs on lentils through March of 2024. The lack of tariffs applies to all countries except the United States and had been set to expire in March of this year. India is one of the world's largest consumers of lentils and adjusts its tariff rates from time to time to better moderate domestic retail prices. Canadian lentil exports to India can ebb and flow depending on India's domestic policies in any given year. Bulk Canadian lentil exports through December of 2022 of 201,800 metric tons, roughly double what moved during the previous drought-stricken year, according to Canadian Grain Commission data. The U.S. beef cow herd dropped to its lowest level since 1962 after a severe drought raised costs for livestock feed. Ranchers increasingly sent cows to slaughter last year instead of keeping them to reproduce, as dry weather reduced the amount of pasture available for grazing in the western U.S. and on the plains. At the same time, a tight labor market limited slaughtering at meatpacking plants. Declining supplies of cattle are expected to keep meat prices high for consumers. There were 28.9 million beef cows as of January 1st, down 3.6% from a year earlier. It was the smallest herd size for that date in 61 years, according to U.S. government data. Overall, the total number of cattle and calves across the country fell 3% from a year ago to 89.3 million, the lowest since 2015. A top 10 shareholder in Bayer has called on the group's supervisory board to replace CEO Werner Baumann quickly, adding to investor pressure to restore trust and revive the German drug maker's sagging share price. Despite recent improvements in the company's agriculture business and drug development prospects, Bayer shares have been weighed down by litigation related to a product it acquired through its 2018 takeover of Monsanto. Shareholders have also cited a lack of market trust in its top management. The demand comes within days of another major German portfolio manager saying that supervisory board chairperson Norbert Winkeljohann must speed up the search for the successor to Baumann, who has led the company for nearly 7 years. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will be back right after this. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's cloudy and minus 20 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were mixed across the province during the past week. Provincial cattle specialist Fonda Froetz compiled the latest market report.
Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were mixed again amongst all the weight categories for both steers and heifers on the January 27th reporting. Feeder steer prices ranged from $322.25 per hundredweight, sort of the 3 to 400 pound category, to $234.42 for the 900 plus pound category. Prices on steers above 700 pounds were either up or unchanged between all those categories, while the lighter steers seen a decline. The largest decline was in the 3 to 400 weight steers, which fell $8 per hundredweight from the prior week to average $322.25. Saskatchewan heifers ranged from $262.67 per hundredweight for the 3 to 400 pound category to $212.38 for the 800 plus category. Those top and bottom weight categories just mentioned were up by $3 per hundredweight over the previous week, while the categories in between 4 to 800 pounds were anywhere from unchanged to plus or minus a dollar per hundredweight when compared to the prior week.
She tells us what the factors were behind the price changes.
Similar to last week, I think there were many factors at play, but we can point at the Canadian dollar and I think supply and demand for the week.
Froetz outlines the marketings.
Canfax reported feeder volumes in Saskatchewan at 13,109 head sold over the week, and this was down from 16,468 the previous week, and similar to a year ago when we seen 14,589.
And as for market-ready cattle prices,
Canfax price for Alberta fed steers on July 27th was $189.72 per hundredweight, and this was just up from the previous week, which was at $189.40 on January 20th. There was a mix in prices for Alberta cows compared to January 20th. The D2 cows increased $1.13 per hundredweight from the week prior to average $1.92, while the price of D3 slaughter cows were down 78 cents per hundredweight to average $87.30.
Fonda Froetz is the cattle specialist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April are trading at 162.30. That's down 72. June live cattle trading at 158.72, that's down 42. March feeder cattle trading at 183.27, down 287. April feeder cattle trading at 187.90, down 215. February lean hogs trading at 74.67, down 20. April lean hogs trading at 84.10, down 232. And that's the livestock market conditions. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will be back in 30 seconds time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The new chair of the Canadian Pork Council says priorities moving forward include strengthening the economic sustainability of the sector, addressing animal disease and developing programs to help producers deal with expected and unexpected challenges. Rene Waugh tells us how long he's been involved in the pork industry.
Yes, I have been involved in pork production for, I would say, my whole life. I grew up on the family farm. I took over the farm in 2006. And since then, I am a co-owner with my brother. And it's a mixed farm in the Quebec area, Quebec province, near Quebec City. And I have been involved in our industry, I would say more, advocacy and other farm groups, about since 7 years with the Les Éleveurs de Porc du Québec, and then at CPC.
He explains how long he's been involved in the Canadian Pork Council.
I have been member of the Canadian Pork Council for 5 years. I had been involved mainly on committees. When I arrived there, I was second vice chair, so I had the opportunity to be exposed to our advocacy effort. I have been, I would say, heavily involved on the health side, especially everything related to the effort around ASF, PED, everything that we're doing at CPC. I was aware and involved in it. And other files where I have been, where I started are also on-farm programs and business risk management programs at various level. But of course, advocacy has been one of my roles.
Waugh outlines the key issues facing the sector right now and in the future.
One major work that we have to do is to make sure that we build a sector, an economic sector, that is viable both on the revenue and the cost of production side. Our producers are often challenged, not only on the their cost of production, but sometimes also on their revenue side, the price of their pork. So we want to make sure that we provide all the tools that our members, provincial members, the all the pork organization in Canada, we provide the good tools and solutions that are accessible to our organization so that producers are equipped to better face unexpected situation, or sometimes they also expected situations but not easy, such as a slowdown in the production or trade disruption, things that we have seen in the past. Of course, there are other files that CPC is working on, such as the health of our herd. We had the PED and PERS that were and are still challenged for our industry. We have the threat of ASF. So these a disease must be kept away and controlled when they are inside. Plenty of work on this front. We have also the quality insurance programs that we have to work on, demonstrating all the environmental stewardship of our producers, and market access and government programs are certainly other files that we are involved and are active on.
He goes on to list his main priorities for the Canadian Pork Council.
One of as we discussed, I think it's important also to mention that we have a new executive director, and Stephen Hegbert. We had he's been about 60 days in the job so far, and we have a new, I will say, leadership team. I would like also to stress the fact that we, with the help of Rick Bergman, the past chair, he has been really instrumental to prepare the new group for leading the organization, and wanted to just to mention it. Priorities have been discussed together at the board level, and we all agree that our communication and coordination among within ourselves, when I say within ourselves, among our members and with the public and the government is certainly key. We have to work more. We have worked hard on it, but we want to work even more on these aspects, because if we want to be efficient in everything we do, we must communicate and coordinate our actions properly. So I would say that in the coming months, we wish that our orientation will make a difference for all our members.
WHA says they're preparing for the possibility of an African swine fever outbreak.
We have been active, and we have devoted a lot of energy and resources on this file in the last 3 years. It's a threat that is above our country that stays there. We have worked really hard in collaboration with the government, provincial and federal government, to be better prepared. We now have a border that is more secured using dogs at the border, sniffing dogs. And we also have structured a plan so that we better know what are the weaknesses and the strength of our Canadian system of surveillance, but also of planification and response if need be. So one thing that is coming up in the coming months is, I would say, various scale of exercise where we can test the planning that we have done and also identify strength and weaknesses. But in a semi-realistic case, we don't want to have a real case of ASF, but we will test as if. So we want to see the resilience and the strength of our system. Another big file that we have to work on is the government response in case of ASF. We know that there are programs. We are requesting more clarity on the programs that would be available for producers if such case happens. It's a major discussion because of the scale of, if it happens, the kind of scale of damage or of implications that it would have. So these are, I would say, two things that we are working on actively. There are other files that I won't mention all of them, but I will certainly pass by the wild pigs work that we have to continue to do. A lot of work has been done. Now we have a better understanding of where the sounders are in Canada, and we can now target various actions to reduce or eradicate these sounders. So these are, I would say, some of the actions that are expected, but the ASF, what we call the ASF Executive Management Board, is a board that is grouping the government, both federal and provincial, plus the industry, and the work is continuing to make sure that we ramp up the level of planification we have and capacity to respond if need be.
And he concluded with these comments.
I would like to underscore the contribution of Rick Berman, our past chair, who has worked so hard for our producers. We had plenty of phone calls together, and he was always focusing on the well-being of our producers. And I think it's worth mentioning his effort and sustained interest for the well-being of our producers. So I would like to thank him for all the work that he has done, and also helping the newcomer to be more efficient in their work. So I would like to mention it to everyone that he has been so helpful for our industry. We are lucky to have a strong board with good representation, and we also have active members, which are our provincial organization. So I am confident that in the coming months, we will be able to make a difference for the sustainability of our pork industry in Canada. And looking forward to contribute with the board of improving the situation on various fronts that I have mentioned.
René Waugh is the new chair of the Canadian Pork Council. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Lane Realty. When it's time to sell the farm, call Lane Realty, your trusted and experienced farmland real estate company. To include your property for showings, call 620-7260 or visit lanerealty.com.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading down across the board this hour. March canola trading at $826 per metric ton, down $5.90. May canola trading at $825.10, down $6.10. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $923.50, up $0.0125. March Kansas City wheat trading at $882.25, up $0.035. March Chicago wheat trading at $757.25, that's down $0.04. March corn trading at $6.80 per bushel, up $0.0025. March soybeans trading at $15.18 per bushel, down $0.20. March oats trading at $3.92.25, down $0.0175. And that's the commodities update. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. Changes observed in the Dominican Republic indicate the virus responsible for the African swine fever outbreak there is becoming less virulent and could become more difficult to detect. Dr. Paul Sundberg, the executive director of the Swine Health Information Center, tells us what he's seen in terms of new areas of infection.
During November, Lithuania, Romania, Serbia, and Northern Macedonia all reported outbreaks in domestic pigs and at a higher rate than what was done before. So this was a November report that was released in the 1st of December. There were 49 outbreaks in those countries in domestic pigs, and compared to only 28 outbreaks in the countries the month before. So it continues to go. One of the things that we're monitoring and looking at is an outbreak in the Czech Republic. The virus was detected in a wild boar carcass near Poland, and I guess that's probably not too surprising with the movement of wild boar in Eastern Europe. The Czech Republic had been negative for ASF, and they worked very hard to eliminate ASF from the country. And this is back to another incursion that has happened in that country. So it's still moving in Eastern Europe. It's still moving in Asia and Southeast Asia. And it still is on the island of Hispaniola in Haiti and the Dominican Republic, although it is being contained there at the current time.
He outlines what's going on in areas that have previously seen infections.
ASF is an interesting virus in that it is relatively stable, but one of the things that we've noted is that it has seemed to have changed in the Dominican Republic. That's a spot where we have a lot of activity and a lot of scientific activity going on in the virus. We don't have access to viruses in Eastern Europe the way we have access to the virus in the Dominican Republic. One thing that is notable in the DR is that the virus seems to be attenuating some, that it isn't causing the outbreak, the mortality event outbreak that has been seen before or been seen in Asia and in Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, for example. If we take that virus, and there's been some work by USDA on Plum Island with that virus, and if you take that virus and inject it into a pig, it will cause that pig to die, and it will die relatively quickly. But if you expose the pigs to the virus, just expose them the way they would be naturally exposed, then there's a certain percentage that are going to get sick and recover. There's a certain percentage that don't have that have the virus but don't show clinical signs, and there's another percentage that are going to get sick and die as if they were injected. So it's kind of it's concerning in that it seems to be changing and attenuating some that decreases the mortality event, which could make it harder to detect. It could continue to linger that way and look like other endemic diseases. So that's something that's a lot of scientific investigation right now to try to understand those processes and the pig's response to the virus.
Dr. Sundberg talks about the risk to North America at this point.
To North America, it still is on the island of Hispaniola in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. The risk to North America, I think it continues not just because it's here in the Western Hemisphere right now. Certainly that ups the game. But we remain at risk especially from illegally imported pork products. ASF is not a human disease. Humans do not get it. They can eat meat that contains ASF and there will be no reaction whatsoever. But if a pig comes into contact with that meat, they will end up getting the disease, getting the virus. So I think one of our main vulnerabilities is importation of illegal meats that may have the virus in them, may be contaminated with ASF. And whether that's a sandwich coming on a plane with a grandmother or whether it is a seizure at a seaport. For example, there have been 230,000 pounds of pork-related products were seized at the Los Angeles Long Beach seaport during 2021, reported during 2021. That remains our biggest risk for introduction of the virus in North America. It could be also a product coming from the DR from Haiti on a boat across to Puerto Rico, for example. USDA and Customs and Border Patrol are working very hard to help stop that risk and mitigate it as best as possible.
That's Dr. Paul Sundberg. He's the executive director of the Swine Health Information Center. It's now coming up on 1 o'clock. That means it's time for the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions, an extreme cold warning remains in effect. For today, mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of flurries, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 15, a wind chill near minus 40. For tonight, partly cloudy, any flurries will end. Winds northwest at 15 to 30, a low of minus 31, a wind chill of minus 44. For tomorrow, mainly sunny, winds northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 25. Friday, partly sunny, winds south-southeast at 15 to 25, a high of minus 8. For Saturday, partly sunny, a high of minus 5. And Sunday, partly to mainly sunny, a high of minus 2. In the Paw, it's minus 23 degrees. Swan River and Shoal Lake Russell, minus 20. Dauphin, minus 16. Brandon, minus 19. Roblin, minus 21. Regina and Wynyard Wadena Kelvington are at minus 16 degrees. Saskatoon Indian Head, minus 17. Hudson Bay Broadview Mooseman, minus 19. The Yorkton Melville region has a cloudy sky, a southwest wind at 8 kilometers an hour. 81% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 20 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 27 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.